Bibles with you, please turn with me to Psalm 96. I think it's page 602 in your pew Bibles. 602, Psalm 96. We're going to be reading and looking at the whole of this chapter together. So, Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is living and active. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning by your word. Father, I pray that we would have open hearts to hear from you this morning, Lord, and that you would speak through these words, Lord, for your kingdom, your purposes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I believe you're going through a four-part series on mission as a church, in which you've looked at the call a couple of weeks ago from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the action from Acts 1 last week, and this week we're looking at the world from Psalm 96. Now, to be honest, when Wendy initially contacted and explained that the theme for today was mission to the world, I was delighted, not just because it links very well with the work of Compassion and other missions that you may support, but also because, as no doubt has been emphasized over these last 2 weeks, it is our great commission from Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations, and it should therefore shape the way that we live our daily lives. Now, there are a whole host of passages that we could have focused on today when considering mission to the world. It could have started right back in Genesis, for example, with the call of Abraham and God's blessing on him and his descendants to therefore go and be a blessing among the nations, or similarly Israel's call to be a light among the Gentiles, even though sadly the opposite was often true. However, I felt called to consider Psalm 96 with you this morning, and the more I've studied it, the more I've realized what an amazing passage it is. It sits in the middle of a group of psalms from Psalm 93 to Psalm 100 that are all united in affirming and declaring God's rule over the earth and his deliverance of his people. All of these 8 psalms are actually hymns that celebrate the kingship of God and declare his praise. And in fact, you may be aware it's incorporated into a larger passage in 1 Chronicles 16, which details the glorious entry of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And because of this, Psalm 96 is often attributed to be a song or a psalm of David at that time. Now, the overwhelming focus of Psalm 96 is to declare and universally call for the praise of God, and then detail why this should be so. It begins with the first 3 verses, in which 6 imperatives are contained. Sing 3 times, praise, proclaim, and declare. And these 6 imperatives, they're essentially commanding the people, as it stresses the importance and the need to proclaim the praise of God. And yet this is not just for the people of Israel. Verse 1 declares, sing to the Lord all the earth. No one is excluded from this. In Psalm 24, David proclaims, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Even if God was only our creator and then left the world to run its course, which some believe, he would still be worthy of our praise. How much more so then to our God, who actively personally revealing himself and ultimately in Jesus enters in to die in our place for our redemption. In the light of this, really, we have even more reason to declare his praise than the original audience of this psalm. But then moving to verse 3, a call is made to declare God's glory among the nations and his marvellous deeds among all peoples, with again nobody being excluded from this. In fact, the verse before, verse 2, speaks of such marvellous deeds, including the salvation brought by God. Israel was urged to continually declare this to the nations and the peoples around, telling of all God had done for them until all the nations had heard and knew of God. As a result, the intention was to inspire joy and to induce faith in him among the nations. And when you consider it closely, it's essentially the same call of Jesus in the Great Commission. Following this call, they were to go and make disciples of all nations, just as we are today. But I wonder, how much do we sing our praises to God? And I don't just mean literally in our singing songs on a Sunday morning as part of our worship, which is hugely important, but in our daily walk with him, in our relationships, in our prayer lives, in the way we conduct our work. Is it in a manner that brings praise to God? And similarly, do we declare his glory to the world around us? Both further afield, for example, in supporting missions like Compassion, that you already do, or closer to home in our daily lives with our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues. There's huge power in sharing stories. Compassion actually started an initiative earlier this year called Share Your Story, you may or may not have seen it, which equips sponsors with resources to go out and share their own story of how they got involved with Compassion and what sponsoring has meant to them. Because we know of the impact sharing such stories has. And again, please speak to me afterwards if that would interest you in terms of sharing your story. But of course, there is no better model of telling and sharing stories than our Lord Jesus, who predominantly spoke and taught in parables and stories with incredible effect. We all have a story to tell. For those of you who know and love Jesus, we have a story to tell of how and why this occurred. Now, you don't need to be an eloquent speaker or worry about the words to say when you're sharing these stories. Just be open and honest with people. And in doing so, you are declaring his marvelous deeds in terms of your own life, what he's done for you, of which there is tremendous power and impact when you're speaking with people. Why not pray for such opportunities and the courage to share your story when these situations do present? Verses 4 to 6 then detail why it is we should sing his praise and declare his glory. They stress the greatness of God above all the gods of the nations who are but idols. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Verse 6. Now you may be thinking that this was written at a time when there were many idols and gods worshipped among the nations and within Israel itself, which is certainly true, but there is enormous idolatry today that is often not recognised as such because we don't necessarily see people literally bowing down and worshipping a stone animal or an Asherah pole, for example, like we read of in the Old Testament. Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit Gods, helpfully explains that an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. As he says, that can be absolutely anything. Money, sex, popularity, marriage, sport, family, even ministry success within a church. And the tricky thing about idols is that they are often good things in and of themselves. But idolatry happens when we turn a good thing into a God thing. You may have heard that saying. Or as Keller puts it, turning a good thing into an ultimate thing. So therefore, don't believe that these verses are irrelevant to us today with regards to idolatry. We must recognize the idolatry in our own lives and the world around us and declare God as God in his rightful place. And verse 6, as I read before, particularly reveals him as king. Is he king over our lives, all of our lives, or just certain aspects, whilst we allow other things to reign in his place? And do we proclaim him as king to the world around us? Verses 7 to 9 then continue with this appeal to universally proclaim the praise of God. It's almost as if the psalmist has a renewed urgency in proclaiming God's praise. And again, notice how it is for all the earth. Paul Oakley's song, Be Lifted Up, you may have heard of, it beautifully reflects these words. Be lifted up, be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up. Let the heavens rejoice, let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble, for you are God. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up. In such simple but hugely profound words. And similarly in the verse from the song Irresistible. I behold your power and glory. Bring an offering, come before you. Worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness. Again, this is simply all that is due his name in being God. And yet infinitely more given everything else that he's done and that he continues to do for us. Then verses 10 to 13 continue with this emphatic call to declare God's praise in all the earth with the amazing personification of different aspects of creation. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant. And everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. I love that image of the trees singing for joy. But however, there's a serious and a sobering note to the end of this psalm that we cannot miss, and it must be also part of our declaration to the world. He will judge the peoples with equity, as it says in verse 10, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, judgment is not something we usually like to dwell on, unless there's a situation we feel aggrieved by and that justice and judgment is then required. But sadly, we hear stories all the time of horrific events, both around the world, for example, the statistics I showed you earlier with regards to children in extreme poverty, and also closer to home. So think of the 39 Vietnamese nationals found dead in the lorry in Essex last month. I don't know about you, but when I hear about such stories, I cry out for justice. We want and we demand justice. In light of God's perfect love, there must also be justice and judgment. However, as this psalm beautifully declares, it's actually a cause for joy and another reason why we should worship and praise him. God is not some corrupt, power-hungry, sadistic authority. No, God is love. And he will judge with equity, in righteousness, and in his faithfulness. Perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. However, to grasp it in its full context, you need to read verses 17 and 18 also. So the whole passage together reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." It's a passage that's full of the love of God and yet equally clear of his judgment for those who reject him. We have to be clear of these two things likewise in our mission to the world. Just before I got up, we sang Filled with Compassion. which I must assure you is not simply a deliberate ploy to promote the work of compassion, even though it did seem a bit like that. But if it has that secondary effect, I wouldn't begrudge it. But it's an amazing song that speaks of the greatest act of compassion ever in God sending his son Jesus to save us, and how his heart is breaking for all the people on the earth. Do our hearts break for the people and the world around us? Are we outwardly focused in all that we do, or simply concerned by our own individual needs? It was great to have the prayers of intercession and just to see that you, as a church, are incredibly missional and having such an outward focus. And I strongly encourage you to continue with that. The lyrics of that song then continue to call us into action, filled with God's passion for all the people on the earth. It says, "Great is your passion for all the people, living and dying without knowing you, having no saviour, they're lost forever, if we don't speak out and lead them to you." Now it's very strong language, and perhaps places too great a burden on us, depending on your theological position. However, I wonder whether we often go too far the other way and don't actually feel any burden at all. As stressed throughout this psalm, Psalm 96, in light of who God is and everything he has done for us, it is our right, it's our just and necessary response to proclaim his praise in all that we do and to declare who he is and his salvation, now freely offered to us in Jesus, to the world around us, that they may be released to have life and to have it to the full in him. Compassion's ministry is to release children from poverty, declaring Jesus' name in doing so. I want to really, again, thank you so much for your support in this and encourage you to continue declaring Jesus' name in all that you do to the people close by you in your surrounding community and neighbourhoods and to the world around you. But we're going to, as we close, we're going to sing a song in response, as the psalmist writes, that proclaims his salvation, his marvellous deeds among the nations. It's a great hymn we're going to sing, "To God Be the Glory," which is hymn number 559. Let's stand and declare this together. To God be the glory.